about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, no sounds, no sounds, just words. No, I need words, not silence. Just give me words. I need words. That's how I communicate.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Look, the only reason any of us even do these shows is so that we can sell our own boring. Why would we use this segment to go out there and sell his boring?
Well, we'll start there, and then we'll talk about your boring.
Can we just talk about my boring?
Oh, I think he wants both, his boring and your boring.
It's a lot of boring.
Yeah.
Try, open the pod bay door, Hal. Open the pod bay door, Hal.
That may be beyond my abilities at the moment.
I think it was beyond my abilities at the moment.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time Tim.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire must cleanse us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on, man.
Roll another one.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get away from that guy's boner.
Just like the other one.
Dish girlfriend.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This is the bad place.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Roll another one.
I love Areola. Right?
Just like the other one.
I like it, Kevin.
This one seems to be about 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
I don't have another cent.
Anyway, all you girls out there, get your tube tops on. Tube tops for
us.
What's up?
Just pass it around.
What is failure?
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
10-4, good buddy.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now,
thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 28th of July.
Say it again.
Friday morning, the 28th of July.
Say the first word again.
Good morning, everybody.
Nope, the part that you repeated. Say the first word of the part that you repeated again.
The day of the week?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Friday.
Yay!
I just want to be sure. Just want to make sure.
Worth it.
Wow, that was worth it.
Just couldn't repeat that enough. It's just been the longest week ever. It's been 20 days in this week.
It hasn't been that long.
This day started back in the 1940s. It's not even 6 o'clock yet.
Bean's gone bye-bye, you guys.
I'm just saying, it's a long week. It's a long day. It's a long hour. This is a long minute.
This is a long minute. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Time is slowing down, you guys.
One of us is making this minute just intolerable.
Hey, what's everybody doing for the weekend?
Huh. Well, my Saturday opened up with Tears for Fears canceling their show.
Just a cruise or hiking?
How dare you? Absolutely not. I might watch the fight.
Wow.
John Jones, Cormier. Yeah. Well,
we are invested with both men. That's for sure.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on it, but now I guess I will.
Yeah. I think I will too.
Yeah.
For that. Kevin, you too?
Oh, absolutely. I was in from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Well,
you got a big weekend plan?
No.
Okay.
What's happening up there?
I don't know what's
happening.
How do we get Bean going?
I don't know. Wind him up, someone.
I don't know how to do that. Hey, is there anything you want to talk about today, Bean?
Yes,
you have a wacky story or something you want to start with? A little office chit-chat before we get
into the chit-chat.
Work.
That's asking, radio death.
Asking people about their weekends like people do at work. Come on.
No, I'm just excited for Ray and Wilma Yoder. I'm sure you guys saw them all over the news yesterday.
I did not.
Ray and Wilma Yoder are from Goshen, Indiana, and they are in the news right now because, well, first of all, they just seem like an adorable, delightful couple. You would love them, Allie. They're awesome old
people. Oh, I know all about them.
They've been married for 60 years, and Kevin, they are one visit away from visiting all the Cracker Barrel Old Country Store locations. Every one of them.
Yay!
In 44 states across the U.S. Kevin, now how many Cracker Barrel Old Country Store locations do you imagine there are?
I would have no way of guessing that.
They've been to all of them.
You said 44 states?
Except one, yes.
I would say they've been to all of them but one.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 300.
More than double that. 645 locations. They've been to 644 of them. They say they've never had a bad experience. They always walk away feeling refreshed. Mr. Yoder started stopping at Cracker Barrel restaurants back in the 1960s. He was an RV driver. He said they were always on the main interstates, and he loved the food, loved the service, loved the people, and he would just stop in. And then his wife at some point joined her husband on the cross-country trips, and then they realized they were onto something and started keeping track of
it. What were they on to, Bean?
They were on to Cracker Barrel being awesome, as I've been telling you for decades on
okay,
this show.
Fine, but don't you just stop at a Cracker Barrel when you see one then? Or maybe you got a hankering for one, so you look up an address. You don't keep track of how many there are, and
they do
try to set
a
record.
They keep track of their visits by taking a map from each restaurant and circling where they've been. As technology progressed, they relied on their children to keep them informed of new store openings posted on Cracker Barrel's website. Man, just when they go, well, at least we're done with Mississippi, then they open up a new location. They got to go back to Mississippi, right? I would imagine this is like a whack-a-mole game, trying to go all over the country and catch them all.
But at the end of it, at least they get a big prize.
As a matter of fact, they do. They have become VIPs at the Cracker Barrel.
Oh,
they get lots
that
of
is
stuff.
A big price.
Yeah.
They, several times,
get a free muffin.
Including as recently as last month, have been able to cut the ribbon at a brand new Cracker Barrel restaurant opening. And obviously, they're tremendous ambassadors for the brand. The last location is going to be in Oregon. The only one that they haven't been to is in Oregon, and they're planning on getting there next year. And then they'll have done them all until a new store opens up.
So when Kevin said a big prize and you said there are, they mm-hmm. cut a ribbon.
Right.
Is there anything else?
Well, they get treated as VIPs. People stop and ask for their photos. And,
no, they don't. People don't know them.
Part of the family. Yes, they have become.
Doesn't happen.
They have become very well known within the Cracker Barrel family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably big news when you hear that the Yoders are coming
it's
to your
not.
Location.
No one knows the Yoders.
And then you roll out the red carpet.
Is that the whole story?
It's the whole story. They've gone to a lot of Cracker Barrels.
I'm with that kid.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Oh, David.
Now, all those years I lived in Seattle, it was very tough for me because there
sure.
are no Cracker Barrel locations.
Right. That, can be, that really can weigh
that
on
is
a
one
person.
Of the six without. But I did on more than one occasion drive to Idaho just over the border and catch one there.
There's a dullness about you. There's
delighted.
A dullness about you.
I am delighted to say that my new home in New Orleans, there is a Cracker Barrel 28 miles from my house.
Don't be so boring.
In Slidell, Louisiana. So I've been to that one on many occasions. So.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
The Yoders, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
Something to aspire to.
I am so bored.
Wow.
You okay?
I don't know.
All right.
You.
I'm hanging in, but it's by a thread.
I feel like it's Bean PTSD. Are those the right letters?
Okay. End in the right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What the f***, man? Who the f*** is that?
Right? Keep it 100, as it is Friday. We also have the movie Beat. We have RJ Bell, who's going to be in studio. He's going to talk about Mayweather-McGregor. He's also going to talk about Cormier Jones. He's going to talk about his appearance on Ballers.
What?
Nice.
We have the 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV to give away today. We have the 45th Vice President of the United States, Al Gore.
Boy, I would have been dumb if I said that, right?
Yeah, you would.
Woo!
Man. Tickets for Metallica at the Rose Bowl, and we've got comedian Al Madrigal on the show as well. We will take a break and come back with the show. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That means it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on, sir?
Just not sleeping well.
Really? Oh, that sucks.
I had a nightmare last night that you guys spent a lot of time talking about Cracker Barrel on the radio.
That's so weird. I had the same nightmare.
Really?
Yes.
How strange. What are the odds?
You did too?
Same?
Oh, man.
It's something we ate. Must be one of those cheesy nightmares.
Have you been to Cracker Barrel, Ralph?
It's pretty fun. I have been there. And
I have as well.
And it's fine.
It's just food.
It's fine. It's a pit stop.
Yeah.
It's where you go when you have to eat, and it's the closest thing to the freeway.
But you're always on your way to something else. It's not the destination.
And it would never be your first choice in a million years. Given a series of options.
All of that is true.
I enjoyed a great deal.
Didn't you start a podcast just for this reason? Look, shouldn't really the Hollander family, who is the VIP king of Cracker Barrel, isn't that where that belongs? There?
Cracker Barrel is for everybody. That's not for a small audience.
That story, though, is really for the podcast.
It's for nobody.
Why See you, Chip, come on.
I don't blame
Chip,
you, Chip.
We're talking. Come on.
It's stunning that you've lasted as long as you have, Chip, really.
That story was everywhere yesterday. It was on ABC News.
Everywhere.
It was Cracker Mania. That's what they were calling it in the media.
I didn't have my TV on. A guy knocked on the door. He's like, did you hear about Cracker Barrel?
Have you heard about Jesus and Cracker Barrel?
I had to take a pause on Eclipse Fever just to get into Cracker Mania. I mean, it was a busy day.
Man,
yesterday.
I'm telling you, podcast.
It's... Al, you enjoyed the story, right?
I didn't. I read it and I thought, wow, Cracker Barrel isn't great. Oh, but they're old. Okay. And then I moved on.
How right. many people
but
did you share that?
Probably when you moved on, you were probably thinking to yourself, thank God I'll probably never have to deal with that story again. You were thinking, right? We're moving forward. We're moving on.
I want to eat a Cracker Barrel.
Thank you, David.
Good input, Dave.
Yeah.
That's
helpful.
Once again, put the show first.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and to hell with them.
Move over, Bill Gates. Right?
Right.
Because Jeff Bezos, richest person in the world, head of Amazon.com, owns about 17% of that glorious website. Moved to the top spot. Moving over Bill Gates as the richest man in the world. And then Amazon stock dipped a little bit yesterday, and boom, he dropped back to number 10.
So he held the position for one day?
Yeah, not even.
Oh.
Yeah, late in the day. He got in the morning, and then by the afternoon, he was demoted back to the number 2 slot.
Is it safe?
It's safe. There's
it's
no more
safe
Cracker
now.
Barrel
no more
right
Cracker Barrel, Chip. We've moved on.
He's probably all right, though. I think Jeff's doing okay, don't you?
Mm-mm, no. I heard he's panhandling outside the Cracker Barrel.
The amazing thing about Bill Gates being anywhere near the top of that list is how hard he tries to give all of his money away.
Yeah, he
does.
The
guy gives away billions of dollars, yet he's still the richest person in the world.
Yeah. Well, he's very, very rich.
Right.
And he's involved in a lot of situations that continue to earn him money.
Mm-hmm.
So that money that he gives away gets replenished.
It certainly does.
That's how that phenomenon works. Give away money, but if you keep making money,
right. you have more
then
to
you
give
get,
away.
Get it back.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of money, Forbes magazine, which, as you know, only purpose of that was to release lists of rich people, has released a list of the 2017 world's highest paid comedians.
Oh.
These are the comedians who are making the most money in 2017. Kevin, you don't have to raise your hand. Oh. First of all, this is radio. No one can see that.
All right.
And secondly, you can just say a name.
Kevin Hart.
Mm. Number 6 on the list, Kevin.
I was positive
I
that
thought
was number
he'd be
one.
Did,
were
sure.
you? $32.5 million.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not a bad year.
That's what he made this past year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Jerry?
Jerry
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
Oh, Seinfeld. Only number 1.
Oh.
With $69 million. $69 million.
And is that, I mean,
that's
he's
everything.
Still,
it's total. That's concerts. That's
syndication.
Syndication. That's Seinfeld money. That's getting coffee with cars and cigarettes with comedians and Sailors, or whatever that show is he has.
No, that's right. You got it. Yeah. That's what it's called.
All, everything. All in.
How about Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle, fourth on the list with $47 million.
I only say that because I know he's been touring a whole bunch and he plays pretty big venues.
He does indeed.
I don't think this is on the list, but I can't think of anyone else right now, and he's back in the news. How about Larry David?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, are these stand-ups or are these, like, comedic actors as well?
These are comedians, stand-up comedians, performing comedians.
Okay.
What about... Sound like a funny guy who was a butcher down the street. What a comedian this guy is.
Sam, the butcher.
He's
no.
cracky.
Okay.
What about Steve? No, oh. Steve did not make the list.
That's a shame. How about Bill Burr?
Bill Burr, no.
Huh.
Chris Rock is second on the list.
Oh, Chris Rock, sure.
With $57 million
this
year.
Sure.
Louis C.K., third on the list with $52 million.
Huh.
Amy Schumer's fifth.
I was going to say Amy Schumer, but I thought there's no way it's top ten. I didn't.
But you didn't.
Such a dick.
$37.5 million made her number five. Only lady on the list, by the way. Allie, he's going to be heartbroken to know you've forgotten him this quickly.
Conan O'Brien?
No.
Jim Gaffigan?
Jim Gaffigan, seventh on the list.
Wow.
$30.5 million.
What?
He does not strike you as a $30 million man when you talk to him, does he?
Nope.
Wow.
Wowzers.
Look, he's got 18 kids.
Yeah.
He's got a lot feed. Of them, yeah.
That's amazing.
And then we get into the worst. Then we just drop off the cliff.
Pauly Shore?
No.
Dane Cook?
No. Terry Fader. Terry Fader.
Oh, he's a Vegas guy?
He's the Vegas puppet dude.
The Vegas puppet dude.
$18.5 million. While we're talking Vegas puppet dudes, how about less than Terry Fader? How about dropping off another notch? How about the rednecks Terry Fader? Jeff Dunham is on the list at number nine with $15.5 million. And then, of course, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Sebastian
Maniscalco made $15 million this year.
That guy kills me.
I don't know who Sebastian Maniscalco is.
Never heard the name once.
But he's in the top 10 highest paid comedians, and he made $15 million. Sebastian Maniscalco.
$15 million.
How do you make that money and be on a top 10 list and have
I was
be completely
say
under
he's
the radar?
Huge in Europe, but no, he's from Illinois. No idea who
What does he do?
Is.
Who is he?
Huh. Italian-American stand-up comedian.
How did he make $15 million?
I don't know.
We got to do a deep dive and do a little research and come up with some Sebastian Maniscalco.
He's playing at places like the Beau Rivage Theater in Biloxi.
Oh, the Beau Rivage.
Oh, that's a good place.
You know, I wish I could get into the Beau Rivage.
This is weird.
Oh, Italian-American Sebastian Maniscalco? He's going to be here next week at the Beau Rivage. Hey, how you doing? I'm Sebastian Maniscalco. Hey, spaghetti, right? Out of that kind of material, I'm guessing. I'm going to do a little research.
That's crazy.
I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring you the highlights of Sebastian Maniscalco's act. $15 million.
No.
I'm telling you, yes.
Disagree.
There's nothing to disagree about. It's a factual list. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lori Loughlin, Becky. She's 53 years old today.
How's her hair?
It's never ending.
The clapping.
I mean, I don't know what to do.
Dana White, UFC president, is 48 years old today. Elizabeth Berkley. Makes me want to watch some Showgirls. 45 years old today. Jacoby Shaddix, Papa Roach singer. Used to be Kobe, right? No, what was his name? Used to be something else. Something Shaddix.
Sebastian
used to go by
Maniscalco.
Something. He didn't go by Sebastian Maniscalco.
I don't remember.
He used to go by something else.
No, you're absolutely right, Ralph. He sure did. I don't recall.
He had a stage name, and then he went back to his real name. Fan Bing Bing. Fan Bing Bing Shaddix. That was his stage name. You're right. 41 years old today. Soldier Boy! Soldier Boy!
Right.
We got to play a little Superman at some point, right?
I mean, do we have to?
Oh, yeah, we do. And Afro Man. Oh, it's a twofer. It's a twofer. The Afro Man and Soldier Boy. I want a little Cause I Got High backed up with Superman. That's what I want. Remix!
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, Afro Man?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Sure did. You know who directed that video?
No.
Any guesses?
Was it Kevin Smith?
It was Kevin Smith.
Was it?
Kevin Smith directed the Afro Man video for Because I Got High.
All right.
It all makes sense.
Makes sense.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after six.
Remember when they did that song live at the Wiener Roast? There at the Hub Center?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
StubHub Center, yeah.
There must have been a 58 drums on stage for that song.
That's what they do for every song. It's weird.
Look at that. Doom, doom, doom. There's like a lot of people with mallets and stuff. I want to play one of those.
It does seem like, and I'm sure it's more difficult to play than it looks, it does seem like the musical instrument for people who don't have any musical ability.
Oh.
Wow.
My.
I'm not talking about being a drummer.
God.
I'm talking about banging on those big, like, bongos. More difficult than I think?
That makes sense.
Yes!
Okay. Hey, Ralph, are you in early thinking it's movie beat time, or what's happening here?
Oh,
no,
this it was. It wasn't?
No. This is the very exciting Bean Secret break.
Oh, I'm in too early.
Yes.
All right, I'll be back.
No, you can stay if you want.
Nip.
This is going to be a tough listen for those who suffer from coulrophobia. We've talked about that in the past. These are people who are afraid of, Kevin?
The cold?
Clowns, correct. Clowns, yes. And there's been a lot of clown news, particularly in the recent years with all the clowns showing up on the edge of town. And then there was that story you probably saw yesterday about that one-armed clown. Who taped a machete to his arm and started walking around in South Carolina.
He had a machete on his arm.
I mean, that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
That guy is going out of his way to terrify a whole generation of people. But if that's not you, if you're somebody who loves clowns, then have we got news for you.
Ever gripping between Las Vegas and Reno, the place has caught your attention.
It is the Clown Motel in Tonopah, offering cheap rates and an endless supply of creepy.
All right, the Clown Motel in Tonopah. This is a hotel, a roadside motel, really, that has a clown theme to it. They have clowns everywhere.
So you check in and a clown takes your credit card and stuff?
Well, I don't know that the guy who runs it, we'll hear from him in a moment. I don't know that he dresses up as a clown.
That's not very dedicated.
He should. You're right. Yeah. They have pictures all over the wall. They have hundreds of clown statues, and they just have clown topiaries, and they're all clowns all the time. And I got to think, even if you're one of the few motels on that lonely stretch of road, you're going to turn a lot of people away when they pull in and go, oh, hell no, right? When they see all those clowns?
I would pull in.
You would?
Really?
Yeah, I would be drawn to that.
Really? How about you, Allie?
I'm not afraid of clowns, but too many clowns might do it.
When you hear
the number of clowns,
an endless supply of creepy, though, I think you get an idea of what we're looking for. Let's find out some more about what's going on.
8 News Now reporter John Langler is here with a look inside. John?
Good evening to you. You know, this is not the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Think of it more as interests of the odd and quirky. Take away the clowns and it's just an ordinary roadside motel, but add them and you get this.
Come on over here. You want a room?
What's about to happen would be unusual if it didn't happen here.
Now, this man is checking into the hotel, and he brought his own clown with him. He has a big doll clown that he travels with.
Oh, no.
Are we sure it's not some type of toy?
I don't know if it's just his old friend that he sleeps with.
Right?
We're not 100% sure.
I mean, come on.
Let's find out what's happening at this hotel.
I've had her looking for circuses, radios.
Really? A customer strolls in for a room, and he's not alone.
Clown's got about 25,000 miles on her.
He brought Clowny.
Oh, no.
There she's getting us.
Okay.
She's got 25,000 miles.
He is wearing her out. She, by the way, this is a clown who is a she.
Right.
That might be might answer your question, Kevin. And the clown's name is Clowny. And this is a guy who's checking into a clown-themed motel in Nevada with a clown in a case that he travels with.
I feel like the local authorities should just camp right outside that hotel and just arrest everyone.
Yeah,
just arrest
eye,
everyone going in and coming out. There's got to be some problems there.
Right. Facial at the spa.
And oh, yeah, the clown got a facial
at
the spa.
What?
Yes, that is correct.
Facial at the spa.
And this is the high point of their journey together.
It's actually been looking for its clown family, and today it's going to find it.
It's all very odd, but by now, Bob Brachetti is used to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He owns Tonopah's Clown Motel. The lobby is lined with clowns of all shapes and sizes and faces.
Well, I'm kind of surrounded by them. I kind of like this guy here.
They dangle above most of the beds. Visiting high school sports teams have been known to cover them with towels to avoid nightmares.
I love clowns. I've never had a problem with clowns.
I mean,
they dangle above the beds.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this guy loves clowns so much, who owns the motel.
It probably doesn't help. The motel sits next to Tonopah's first cemetery.
All right, you guys.
Yes.
Nope.
Does this
location have everything? Clowns and a cemetery.
As you know, it's also called the scariest motel in the United States.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Is this the alarm that you set in the morning?
I'm sure it is.
The clown opened 20 years ago. Brachetti retired from his state tourism job to create the clown with his late business partner. It was his idea to put a family clown collection just about everywhere.
He had a house full of clowns, and he decided to bring the clowns up and put them to work.
The internet has helped its uniqueness grow in popularity. Ghost seekers come for the thrill. Clown lovers come for the clowns. It might be Tonopah's top draw. For Brachetti, it's work.
It's just like any job. I mean, it's something that you love or you hate. I've always loved this job.
But after more than 20 years of running the Clown Motel, Brachetti says some big changes are on the horizon.
This is the best news in the world if you love clowns, because, ladies and gentlemen, the motel is for sale. After more than 20 years, the man is selling the motel, and you can own it.
For,
well,
are they guessing how much it might go for?
He's putting the place up for sale.
I'm going to go fishing. I want to go enjoy myself and do a little camping with my grandkids.
A condition of the sale is the Clown Motel must keep its heritage. Upgrade it, Brachetti says, but don't lose what the people love, because he loves it too.
Oh, I'm going to miss the clowns. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and visit my clowns, yeah. Yeah, I love my clowns.
He's going to come back and visit his clowns that he spent 20-something years around,
He's
by the way.
Selling it so that he can see his grandkids for the first time and take them fishing. Because they won't let Grandpa Clown come over.
Let's find out how much it's going for.
Brachetti's lived in Tonopah his entire life. He has no plans to leave. As for a price, in case you're curious, perhaps you've been saving up, he hopes to sell the motel for about $900,000.
What?
Thank you. There you go. Almost $1 million. You can run the Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada. So get on it. It's Friday morning. That means Ralph comes in with a look at the movie beat. And I'm telling you what, in advance, if Kevin says he's going to see the Emoji Movie, then I'm going to quit this show. I can't do it anymore.
That's all I have to do?
That's all you have to do.
Kevin, done.
There's got to be a standard, Kevin. There has to be.
But wait, if I say I'm going
to
see it.
You don't even have to see it. Just say you're going to.
You're going to quit the show.
Let's
find out. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
We've got problems with global climate change.
Hey, Al Gore.
I said that the water levels could rise and flood
right.
The 9/11 tribute site.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, how can you say that?
Mm-hmm.
And it happened.
Yeah, Hurricane Sandy. It sure did.
But that was a hurricane. It wasn't everyday life. Right?
Right. But according to Al, hurricanes are part of the global warming, part of the climate change issue.
Wasn't everyday life. There had never been a hurricane that flooded Manhattan before, Kevin. Doesn't that stand out a little bit?
That was Al Gore's point. The conditions were right for that.
But it's not everyday life.
That's
true, Kevin.
Exactly right.
New York City isn't flooded every day. You've got us there.
Thank you.
Good point.
It's science.
Thank you.
This movie is necessary for people like Kevin, obviously. It's called An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. The sequel to... An Inconvenient Truth, the documentary that really brought climate change into the heart of popular culture about a decade ago. Well, Al Gore's back. He brought Barack Obama with him. And Donald J. Trump apparently also appears in this film. Here's some clips from this documentary, an Inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power.
It's supposed to be 70 degrees today. It's freezing here. Speaking of global warming, where is we need some global warming?
Storms get stronger and more destructive. Watch the water splash off the city. This is global warming.
I feel so scared. Sorry.
Despair can be paralyzing, but this to me is the most exciting new development. We're seeing a tremendous amount of positive change. The basis is there, but it's still not enough.
You are all going to die tonight.
Well, it's not every day, though, right?
He is a dynamic and exciting speaker, isn't he, Al Gore?
Look, he's got...
We'll find out next hour, Bean.
Yeah, we do talk to the vice president.
Yeah, you guys are talking to him
later today. A little over an hour from right now.
Well, I hope Kevin tells him it's not every day. It's not an everyday problem. Person to person, right?
Person to person.
It's the name of
what's this?
Film coming out in limited release starring Michael Cera.
All right.
Philip Baker Hall, Michaela Watkins.
Wow.
It's a variety of typical New York characters as they navigate their personal relationships and problems over the course of one day. The whole movie takes place in a day. Little film. Little tiny, limited film. But it seems like it might be worth checking out. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Those are the detectives on the case. Today is your lucky day. I happen to have a working relationship with these guys.
Ronnie, this is Phil from New York News. So where are you guys headed?
Phil wants to know where we're headed.
If you're trying to get laid here, just admit it.
Yes, that's correct.
Aren't you a lesbian?
Melanie thinks I'm a lesbian. She thinks that because I've only ever been with girls.
You have to get tough, Claire. Go with your instinct.
My instinct is to quit this job, run away, and go home.
Okay, ignore your instinct.
Okay.
All right.
Little film.
I like movies that take place in one day, by the way.
That's a great category for you.
It is. It's an actual category, yeah.
Did you watch 24?
Yeah, I did.
All right, just checking.
But, you know, like the Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller movies like that, I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. Dazed and Confused, another one.
Keep going.
The Emoji Movie, which Kevin is going to see, right?
I mean, if...
You said you're in, right, Kevin?
Yes.
I saw the Emoji Movie.
No, you did not.
What's happening? Yes.
The beauty of having a small child.
Having a 7-year-old is that, Daddy, I want to see the Emoji Movie. And so you say, okay, there's a screening. Let's go. We'll make a date of it. I took my kid. We went to see the Emoji Movie.
And?
Only my love for my child could force me to see a movie starring T.J. Miller.
That's a good point right there. But I do remember how mad you were when it was announced a year ago that they were making an Emoji Movie.
Imagine how mad I was when I saw it. Oh, no. Imagine the idea of how dumb the idea is to make a movie about the little pictures who live inside your smartphone. Imagine how stupid an idea that is. Take that and multiply it by 10 into how it actually turned out, the execution for the film.
Uh-oh.
It's awful. My 7-year-old kid, on a scale of 1 to 10, gave it a 5.
Oh.
And she wanted to see it.
She wanted to see it.
And it was made for her age.
It's derivative. It's pointless. It's inane. It's a ripoff of Inside Out, which was a great kids movie. It is... T.J. Miller's performance is uninspired and dull.
What?
The only good thing in it is James Corden, who plays High Five. He plays the hand emoji, the High Five emoji.
How about Patrick Stewart? Isn't he poop?
He's got like 8 lines in the whole film.
Oh.
Of course, there is a character called Mr. Poop. There's that.
By the way, we don't see this very often.
No, I might actually go.
We don't see this very often, but Rotten Tomatoes, guys?
Uh-huh.
0.
No.
Yes.
It's effing awful.
0.
And I usually can table my disdain for crappy kids' movies by saying, well, at least kids would enjoy it. I can't imagine even kids will enjoy it. Like I said, my 7-year-old, who was kind of excited about the idea, came out saying, meh. She gave it a 5 out of 10. So, it's not good.
It's really not good. Did you like it?
It's not good.
Really couching your feelings here, Ralph. So, I'm having trouble reading.
Don't go, Kevin. Don't go.
But if
I know, I understand. Look, I understand what you're sacrificing.
The bad man said.
But I would hate to see you have to sit through that movie, regardless of whatever positive outcome might result.
Wow. He really hated it.
Wow.
And lastly, Atomic Blonde. Atomic Blonde.
There's,
bow, wow, wow.
There's your movie right there.
Bow, wow, yippee, yo, yippee,
yeah, yay. This is the one I've been waiting for.
Yeah. You got Charlize Theron as basically a female James Bond, just kicking ass, boning, drinking, working her way across Berlin during the Cold War, investigating the murder of a fellow agent. And I'll tell you, I can't wait to see this
movie. Same.
I look forward to it this week. And Charlize, James McAvoy, who I love, John Goodman, who's terrific, Eddie Marsden, who if you watch Ray Donovan at all, you know is Ray's brother. It's a great cast, great star, great premise. Here's some clips from the trailer of Atomic Blonde.
There's a double agent operating in Berlin. If we don't find him before the wall falls, we could be facing World War III.
Welcome to Berlin. I'm David...
Don't shoot. I've got your shoe.
I'm the only man in this town that can help you.
I trust you about as far as I can throw you.
Good evening, Agent Broughton.
I chose this life. And someday, it's going to get me killed. But not today.
Yeah! Yeah!
She is awesome.
She's the best. So that's the movie to see for this weekend. Don't see the Emoji Movie. Don't do it. Don't go. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Don't look at it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie.
You know, from time to time, we talk to our friend RJ Bell at pregame.com out in Las Vegas. Today, he's going to be joining us in studio just after 7 a.m. It's going to be fun to find out a little bit more about how RJ operates out there in Las Vegas. We can also talk about the upcoming Mayweather-McGregor fight and UFC 214 this weekend. So that'll be coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Al Gore next hour as well, and your Metallica tickets on the way, too. Kevin, you don't watch the news, but I can't remember why. Why is it?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right, because you're a kid. But you have missed a hell of a week, my friend, between the Boy Scouts having to apologize for the president's remarks in front of Boy Scouts to this Anthony Scaramucci interview in the New Yorker yesterday, which is one of the craziest things you've ever seen in the history of America, to the mysterious letter from a little 9-year-old boy named Pickle that the White House press secretary read from the podium the other day, which was really a bizarre thing to see in America. It was more North Korea-like to read a fan letter from a little kid to the dear leader. But I think we have some tape of Sarah Huckabee Sanders reading this letter from little Pickle.
I'd like to read you a letter from 9-year-old Dylan. My name is Dylan Harbin, but everybody calls me Pickle. I'm 9 years old, and you're my favorite president. I like you so much that I had a birthday about you. My cake was the shape of your hat. And then Dylan goes on to ask a few questions. How old are you? How big is the White House? How much money do you have? Dylan, I'm not sure, but I know it's a lot. I don't know why people don't like you. Me either, Dylan. You seem really nice. Can we be friends? I'm happy to say that I directly spoke to the president, Dylan, and he would be more than happy to be your friend. My picture is in here, so if you can, see me and say hello. Dylan, thanks for writing to the president, and if you're ever in Washington, D.C., I hope you'll stop by and let us show you around.
By the way, if you're a little Pickle and you send a letter to the president and it gets read on TV, mind blown, right? You don't ever expect that. You don't ever expect to hear back what you write from the president. These people are reading it on TV.
Pickle is a baller.
He is.
Right?
If Pickle's real. We asked Dave if there's any way we could do some follow-up on this story, and I'm not sure who's on the line, but I think this is a White House spokesperson who actually arranged the interview, or at least the you tell me, sir. What did you do?
Well, first of all, good morning, okay? Good morning.
Mr. President?
No, my name is John Miller. John Miller. I am a publicist for the White House.
You're President Trump.
I'm happy
Trump.
To arrange this interview for you today, okay?
I don't understand, Mr. President. We weren't expecting to speak with you at all. We're happy.
My name is John Miller.
Mr. Miller.
Okay, call me John.
Okay.
Call me Miller.
Okay.
Call me J.M.
Okay.
Call me Johnny M.
Okay.
Call me J Mill.
Okay. Let's go with J Mill.
Okay.
All right.
I just want to talk to you guys. I'm going to arrange an interview with you and Pickle on the phone. I'm going to patch you through.
Okay? Oh, wow. Oh, the real Pickle, okay. The little kid. Okay,
but
great.
First, before that, I want you to talk to Pickle's dad, okay?
Okay.
Because we know how sometimes how the mainstream media can be, okay, how the fake news can be.
Right.
And I want you taking advantage of this little kid.
Certainly not.
All right. So I want you to talk to Pickle's father.
Okay.
My friend Jim.
Okay. Jim.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk to Jim.
This is very exciting.
It is.
Hello, it's Jim here.
It's still you, Mr. President. Can you hand the phone?
My name is Jim, and I'm Pickle's dad, and I understand you guys are really, really interested in talking to him, and that's tremendous, I think, tremendous.
Well, Mr. President, we are because we want to talk to him about what it's like being a 9-year-old and having a favorite president.
It is. And Trump is his favorite president.
Right.
The best president maybe ever.
That's what he thinks.
Except for maybe the late, great Abraham Lincoln. I don't think anybody's ever been a better president to Pickle.
Weird, Jim. That's just what Trump said the other day.
Well, it must be great then if he said it.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk to Pickle?
Yes, yes. Okay. Very much.
Pickle, they're ready to talk to you on the radio now.
He's the star of this whole show.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to Pickle.
Hello.
He's only 9.
This is Pickle. I'm 9 years old.
Hi, Pickle.
Hello. Goo goo gaga. Goo goo gaga.
9-year-olds don't do that. Yeah. Mr. President?
I'm 9. I love the president. He's the best president ever.
Right.
Okay.
What is it about him that you love so much?
I love
Pickle.
His money.
Uh-huh.
He's so rich.
Right.
I love how handsome he is.
Uh-huh. Oh, you think so?
I love how hot his wife is. He is the hottest wife.
Well, we could agree on that.
All of his wives have been hot. It's amazing. His daughter is amazingly hot. His daughter's incredible hot. My next birthday, I want to have an Ivanka cake.
Oh.
And then so, I want to eat it.
I bet.
Careful.
Pickle.
So you're real then, Pickle.
I'm real, and I'm 9 years old, and I like candy,
right.
And the president is great, and everybody... Why is everyone so mean to him? Because he is a nice man.
Yeah, that's what you said in the letter, right?
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah, again, 9-year-olds don't goo goo gaga. So you're real and you wrote this letter and you really admire the president that much.
I'm really real.
Uh-huh.
And I really wrote this letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although now that I look at it, it seems kind of dumb for a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of misspellings and it's
sort of... A 9-year-old can't spell white. W-H-I-T-E.
I mean...
I'm so stupid.
Right? That's what we're saying.
I should have done a better job of this letter. Because it's hard for even me to believe it. And I'm Pickle and I'm 9.
Right. Of course you are.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:07.
It is Friday morning, you guys.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one excited. Rob, it's your time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Quick email I got here from one of our listeners who said that Bean does not suffer from Asperger's after listening to the Cracker Barrel this morning.
I've been telling you guys that for years.
We've given Bean probably 15 tests for Asperger's, and he scores in the 90 percentile every single time.
Well, this listener sent an email saying he doesn't have Asperger's after hearing the Cracker Barrel story this morning, that he suffers from a neurological syndrome called... Witzelsucht. Witzelsucht. Is your microphone not on?
Nope.
It was not.
Thanks, Kevin. What are you doing over there in the corner of the room instead of paying attention to people's microphones?
I'm listening. My bad.
Witzelsucht is a rare neurological situation which symptoms are the following. A tendency to make puns, tell inappropriate jokes, or pointless stories in socially inappropriate situations.
But that's also true of people with Asperger's.
Yes, but wait, it gets better.
Okay.
The patients do not understand that their behavior is abnormal, and they are non-responsive to others' reactions to their stories.
Interesting.
Other signs of this behavior include poor judgment, deficits in emotional regulation, excess preoccupation with sex, and cognitive rigidity. Which translates into difficulty in appreciating other people's emotions and an inability to yield.
Wow.
Witzelsucht!
It's a neurological disorder. He can't control what he says.
Witzelsucht.
How do you spell that, Ralph? Give me the first part of that.
That's pretty accurate.
W-I-T-Z-E-L-S-U-C-H-T.
CHT.
Wow, it has suck right in it, doesn't it?
It does. Witzelsucht.
All right, I'm concerned by that. I'm going to do a little research myself.
You don't even need to research it. That's
100%. By patients with frontal lobe damage.
Oh.
Sometimes people who have been in car accidents.
Bean was in a head-on collision when he was 15.
That's what wiped out my memory. That accident.
There is help, though.
Lobotomy?
That.
Bag desert.
Venlafaxine is apparently what you can take.
What if Bean...
Let's get some Venlafaxine.
Yeah.
What if he took that and just was just a normal, everyday guy?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Changes back to original behavior were noticeable after a daily dose for 2 weeks. In subsequent 2 months, inappropriate jokes and hypersexual behavior rarely noticed. We've got to get some of this Venlafaxine.
We can cure him.
Wow.
Imagine if we cured him.
And an endless supply of creepy.
That's not mentioned. Wow. That's pretty accurate right there.
This could be a miracle.
Bean, you should get that checked out.
This is...
Because what if?
This is disturbing, you guys.
What if?
I don't like it.
Witzelsucht!
I guess. I guess I'll look into it.
He won't.
He won't at all.
There's no danger of that happening. I did some research from last hour into Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes.
Yes, please.
The 10th highest paid comedian in America.
And
according
none
to
of
Forbes
us
magazine.
Had ever heard of him.
Never
before.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, made $15 million this year.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
What's his deal? Is he Las Vegas?
No, he is. He's a touring comedian, Los Angeles based.
And your answer is,
how is he so well known? What would
he's
we know?
Not well known.
He's not well known, but
that's
he made a lot of money.
He made a lot of money. He's constantly on the road doing dates.
A lot of guys are though.
Apparently, he was on the that Vince Vaughn Wild West comedy tour show or whatever.
Okay. They turned it into a movie, right?
Right. And Seinfeld sort of became his mentor and put him on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Okay.
And so now he's an opener around the country, and he works enough that he's made $15 million.
How about that?
Good for him.
But there's a lot of, like, hey, how about Chipotle? Hey, checking into the airport. That's hard,
oh,
right?
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So you don't.
At least he's Andrew Dice Clay-esque, so he's got that going for him.
So you just didn't, you did not see the appeal at all.
I'm just saying, good for him to turn that into $15 million.
No kidding.
And you're at the airport and then your bag is too heavy. And they're like, your bag is heavy.
No. Ralph, come
on. I'm lying, I'm dying. You go into Chipotle and there's a guy, he's just chopping chicken. He's looking at you, you're looking at him like, hey, what's with the sneeze guard? That's a lot of
I can see that.
Sounds pretty good.
See? This is why the guy's making $15 million.
We need to book him for foolishness.
The Kevins of the world.
It sounds like we'd be lucky to get him for foolishness.
People like him.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
You're there, and then the doorbell rings 20 years ago. Everybody like, hey, we got company.
Zizz.
Is that his catchphrase? Viz?
I don't know. I didn't really watch it. I just saw what I saw.
That's crazy.
$15 million a year, you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got another list here. We don't have any time, but this will be good. We'll play this next hour.
All right.
Top 10 tours, musical tours of 2017.
Okay.
Interesting list. I think you'll dig it. But we'll get to that when we have time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lori Loughlin's 53 years old today. UFC president and friend of the show, Dana White, is 48. Elizabeth Berkley is 45 years old. Jacoby Shaddix, Papa Roach lead singer, is 41 years old today. Afro Man and Soulja Boy both celebrate a birthday today, so we're going to do a little musical mashup. Ready?
Yep.
Hit it, Steve.
Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh. Why me crack it? Why me roll? Oh. Why me crack that Soulja Boy? Oh. That Superman.
Yeah, Soulja Boy's 27 years old and Afro Man.
I was gonna clean my room. Until I got high.
43.
I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
The guy in the Chipotle, he's like, hey, what am I doing? I got high chopping chicken assists.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to give away another one of these 55-inch TCL TVs in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And then former Vice President Al Gore joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show for his third appearance. That's coming up later in the hour. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe he's here in person. We talk to him so often throughout the year from his home in Las Vegas, but he's here in person. The founder of Pregame.com, our friend R.J. Bell just walked in.
How's R.J. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
How are you, sir?
I tell you guys, you have so many listeners, and if they could only see this setup, I mean, it is a professional operation.
Take it.
There's like.
Have you never been in a studio?
The funny thing is, I've been in a ton of them, okay. And they're like closets usually.
All right. This is a dump, RJ. Come on.
And something the listeners need to know is when the RJ song was on, yeah. Everyone's bopping their head.
I mean, look,
people dancing a little bit. I love it.
You sort of have to.
Well, it's so great to meet you in person. We've very much enjoyed talking to you over the last three football seasons here on the Kevin Bean Show. But I want to start by asking, how big a deal in Las Vegas? You have given us so many great facts and stats over the years with how popular the gaming is with you know, with football and with basketball and baseball. How about UFC? Like, will there be a ton of action on UFC 214 this weekend?
So first off, and we'll be talking about it as the fight comes up, but if you look at McGregor Mayweather, which is a hybrid but really a boxing match, tons of action. Now, there's all kind of talk about how big it's going to be.
That dwarfs the UFC this weekend.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Okay. But here's what I'll say. Okay. UFC, Las Vegas, Dana White's always been very open to gambling. If you think back to, and not saying it's directly analogous, but Vince McMahon and the XFL, he was the one to say, let's differentiate ourselves and have gambling embraced. Dana White's done that too. They talk about it. We, on a local show in Vegas for years, have had people from the UFC on talking odds.
Is that right? Wow.
So in a way, they said, listen, why make it a taboo? And they've really benefited when it came to Vegas betting action and interest because they've embraced it.
This has not been a great year for the UFC. They have had a lot of headliners out. They've you know, they've had some trouble with some of their matches falling apart at the end. But this is the one that fans have been waiting for. So I'd imagine this has to be the biggest UFC action of the year, right?
I would think so. But, you know, that's the catch-22, as you guys know about UFC. You know, professional wrestling, again, is a work, as they say. And, yeah, people get hurt, but they're not going to get hurt as much, right?
Right.
When something's legitimate competition, you're going to have a lot of injuries. And in a weird way, I think, because sometimes there's the main events that have to get canceled, yeah, it's a disappointment for that event, but it legitimizes the whole sport. Like, this is real. But no doubt, this is a big, big event.
What's the gambling looking like for Cormier Jones?
So Jones is a -260 favorite. So you got to bet $2.60 to win $1. And then if you want to bet the underdog, $1 wins you $2.20. So if you do the math, it says Jones, 70% chance to win.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned Mayweather McGregor, and that's going to be here pretty – what's the date on that? It's coming up in August.
I think
August
23rd, if I remember. 26th.
Yeah. All right. So we're only about a month out from that. Is this turning into the biggest event of the year outside of the Super Bowl?
I would say, now, not purely betting numbers. I've heard some speculate more than the Super Bowl. I'm skeptical. We'll know as we approach the fight.
Super Bowl destroys everything, doesn't it normally?
In Nevada, the Super Bowl is about $130 million. Just Nevada, and by some estimates, that's less than 1% of the worldwide handle, which would mean $13 billion is a fair estimate, I think. No way is this boxing match going to get $13 billion worldwide. But in Nevada, because it's there physically, they might approach the $130 million.
Wow. Now, this is one of those where you always point this out when we talk to you, RJ, and that is that there's a difference a lot of times between the professionals and the public. And this seems to be one of those, right?
pros versus Joes, as they say.
Yep.
And
as you say.
Some others, too. A few others. Not as good at it, but yeah, there's a few of them. Is the pros are going to be 90-plus percent on Mayweather. I know a guy from the Review Journal. He covers UFC and boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect guy. He says that, in his opinion, McGregor has less than a 2% chance to win.
Oh.
Now, that would be like 50-1, right?
Right.
Now, the professionals, over 90% on Mayweather. The recreational bettors, over 90% on McGregor.
How? That's a crazy disconnect.
No doubt. And here's some actionable advice. And we don't get hardcore, but we know some listeners are going to play this. If you like McGregor, play earlier, because odds are very good, not certain, very good, the odds are going to go down. And if you like Mayweather, wait till the day of the fight. I expect this to get below minus 500. Right now, it's right around minus 660 mm-hmm. for Mayweather, so $6.60, and plus 460 for McGregor. So it's saying an 83% chance. That's where the disconnect is. Some people say 98% for Mayweather. Odds say 83. That's when the pros jump
All right.
in.
So McGregor, bet early, Mayweather bet late.
Exactly.
Okay, now let me ask you this then. Do people root for McGregor, A, because they think, hey, we can make more money off of it, and B, because they like him more, because everybody hates Floyd Mayweather? Is that people partly betting with their heart on this one, RJ?
I think with their heart, but I don't think it's so much disdain. I mean, think about it. There's all of us have people we don't like. You're not necessarily going to – in a weird way, if you risk money against them and they win, they get your goat a little bit,
yeah.
right? So I'm not sure that phenomenon. But
I think it's much tougher to make money, though. You want the long shot odds a little bit so you could actually make some money.
That's it. That is it.
Yeah.
It's bet a little to win a lot. Think
right.
of the lottery. The hold percentage in the lottery, meaning how much they take out, is about 50%. Now think about it. So you start with a million, let's say. Half million, they're saying, oh, that's ours. That's the government's. Oh, by the way, we're going to pay you a half million and we're going to tax you 40% on it.
Right.
So, but people still do it
yeah.
because it's such a big number. They don't care. So if you can bet, or they care, but they're okay with it.
Right,
if you
right.
bet a little to win a lot, people love that so much more than betting a lot to win a little. One other thing. The difference, it feels like UFC and boxing are similar, right? If we were playing around as kids in a yard, it's like, let's box, let's UFC. It's so different. It's almost like Michael Jordan playing baseball. He was the best basketball player ever. He couldn't even, do well in the minor leagues in baseball.
This is the voice of our friend RJ Bell here on the Kevin DeMean Show. He's the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. And today is one of the last days that RJ is going to be able to walk around and not be mobbed by fans, because this weekend we're going to see his mug on HBO's Ballers. That airs Sunday nights at 10. That's the show you've heard about with Rob Corddry and with The Rock. And it's so great. I think we're up to what? Season 3, I think, RJ?
Yeah. This is the second episode of season 3.
And you've been a fan, I imagine, because it's right up your alley, ours too, of that show since it came up. How did you end up getting on the show?
I tell you, not only a fan of that show, and who doesn't appreciate The Rock? I'm a wrestling fan from way back, not so much today, but the idea of a wrestler becoming, one of the biggest, if not biggest, yeah. stars in the world. And I'll tell you this, being on set, it was a shoot in March. It was a full day, about 13 hours. Not one person said a bad word about Dwayne Johnson. I mean, just...
because he would have hit him.
Well, but he wasn't... Yeah, he's the big star.
Right.
And you know how it is. Listen, you guys know, right?
Sure.
When you have the big stars, there's whispering in the other room.
Yeah.
I mean, none of that. And the creator, Steve Levinson, listened to our podcast. He's not a gambler. He said he just enjoys...
How about that?
The analytical approach to sports. And after, he said, for a few years, when they did the Vegas episode, he said, let's get RJ on so I get to play myself.
Ah,
I don't want to give anything away,
right.
but let's just say there's a craps table involved.
I can't wait. That's so awesome, RJ. Congratulations on that.
All right, I'm going to throw a wild card at you that we didn't talk about before, and I apologize for this, but World Series.
Oh.
Teams,
you're gonna
Dodgers.
You're going to like this one. Dodgers right now, 3-1. So 100 wins you 3, but the favorites, the clear favorites to win it. Astros next, 4.5-1. The Cubs. Now, people are saying, wait a minute, they're having a down year. They've taken so much Cubs action. They don't want any more, so they're keeping the odds down, 7.5-1. Nationals, 7.5-1. This Dodgers team, entering the All-Star break, so it's been a little while, had the second best record against the Vegas number of any team. So think about this. A team people, the Dodgers, expected to do well.
Right.
A team that's super popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dodgers are one of the most popular teams. Plus, there's the geographic proximity to Vegas, whereas a lot of bettors in L.A. come to Vegas and bet the Dodgers. And still, they overperformed all but one team. This is a team that's had a heck of a season, clear favorites to win it.
Wow. Fantastic. All right. We are out of time, I'm sorry to say, RJ. I hope you had a good time.
Hey, listen, it's been a real pleasure, and you guys have great energy. I mean, back office, all this, and everywhere. I know we got to run. Everywhere I go in Los Angeles, I mentioned I was coming on the show, and it is like smiles, like, oh, Kevin and Bean. I mean, you guys have a huge following.
Well, I know we're going to talk to you again real soon. Pregame.com for all the action. RJ in Vegas on Twitter, and especially RJ loves hearing from you if he helped you make you some money, too.
But not if you lost.
Oh, but you guys love that part.
Yes, we do. All right. We're opening up the phones real quick right now at 1-800-520-1067. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been hooking up with a brand new TV, and not just any TV, a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. TCL, the fastest TV brand name in America. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Any caveats on this one?
We're going to be talking about TV talk shows.
Mm-hmm. TV talk shows. All right, yes. So if you're a fan, give us a call. Win yourself a brand new TV next on K-Rock.
Oh,
you guys are fighting for that one.
Shoot.
Kevin, as you'd like to say, the comedy stylings of Al Gore coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the K-Rock, talking about his new movie in theaters. First, though, we want to give away another TV, a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. We've had a lot of fun with these games this week, and it's been great giving away these beautiful new TVs. This one, what's this one called? Do we know?
This is called That's Real Talk Right There.
That's, yeah, Real Talk. Real talk right there, man. That's real talk. Real talk right there, man.
That's real talk right there, man.
All right, there's so much great stuff on TV, and maybe you're a fan of talk shows. If you are, you got a leg up on this one, because we're going to be playing a clip from a popular nationwide TV show, a TV talk show, and all you have to do is identify what the show is, who's the person in the clip, and you are in the drawing to win the brand new TV.
We start with Josh in Burbank. Hi, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your clip?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3. You get a car! You get a car! You get a car! Everybody gets a car!
I want a car. Who's that lady yelling at us?
Jeez. I could barely hear it. Rachel Ray.
It's Oprah.
Oprah, yeah. Rachel Ray really famous more for cooking than giving away cars, but thank you for playing, Josh. We appreciate it.
Let's go to Trevor in Camarillo. Hi.
Hello.
All right, are you ready for your clip?
I'm ready.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for helping me get to work. Honestly, the traffic's been terrible. I really appreciate it.
I literally just hit carpool, and I didn't know that I was going to end up in this car with you.
Well, that is a relief. What are the chances?
Do you mind if we listen to some music?
All right, I feel like we gave a lot of hints in that one. Trevor, what do you think?
Oh, man, it was really hard to hear.
Person gets in the car.
Yeah, it's a carpool. There's some singing. Mm-hmm. Who's that person maybe hosting that talk show?
Then they sing.
Sorry, Trevor, we were looking for James Corden. His name is James Corden, but thank you for playing. Okay, 0 for 2 so far. Not feeling great about Real Talk Right There, man.
That's Real Talk Right There, man.
Caesar in Wilmington, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, you ready for yours?
Yes.
Here you go.
Michael, you are not.
Greatest goddamn show in history. Who is it, Caesar?
It sure is. It's Maury.
Maury
it
Povich.
It is Maury, yes. Correct.
Nicely done.
He could hear it pretty good.
He could.
Yeah. You are in the drawing.
Let's go to Scarlett in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hi.
Are you ready for your clip?
I am ready.
Good luck.
One more thing before we forge ahead. It is Thursday night, which means it's time to bleep and blur the big TV moments of the week. Whether they need it or not, it is this week in Unnecessary Censorship.
What talk show is that, please, Scarlett?
Jimmy Kimmel.
There you go. Nicely done. All right, let's go.
She could hear pretty good.
Let's go to Anthony in La Puente. Hi.
Hey, what up, though?
Are you ready?
Yep.
Good luck.
How you doing?
You dim your eyes like this. And when you get to the end of doing, you spread your bottom lip.
How you doing?
All right.
Who is that annoying person that should not be on TV?
That's Wendy Williams.
It is, yes. Nicely done. Hold on. You're in the drawing.
We're on a roll.
All right. Let's go to Amanda in Long Beach. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, good morning.
Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Here you go.
You gave it up, right?
I did.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
You? Have I hurt you, Jerry?
Who's doing that terrible interview with Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
So it's Larry King. Larry King. All right, let's do one more. All right, let's do Mike in Huntington Beach. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Are you ready for yours?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have.
What a hilarious episode to choose a clip from. What show is that, Mike?
Unbelievable.
Letterman.
Wow.
At least that's what he'll be remembered for.
What's happening?
All right, Caesar and Scarlett, Anthony and Mike, they all did some real talk right there and picked out the right TV shows. One of them's going to win a brand new 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV, and only one. Miss Allie McKay, who's that going to be today?
It's going to be Scarlett.
Scarlett! Congratulations, yes. Scarlett!
Oh, thank you. I need a new TV.
You just won a new TV, and thanks for playing the game.
That's real talk. Real talk right there, man.
That's real talk right there, man.
Our next guest is the best-selling author, Grammy winner, Emmy winner, recipient of the Nobel Prize, Army veteran, representative, senator, and the 45th Vice President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, Mr. Al Gore. Hey, Al.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Allie. Thank you.
It is great to have you back on the show. It's been far too long. The sequel to the Inconvenient Truth film is in select theaters all over town this weekend. I thought you solved this global warming crisis with the last movie. You're back with more. What's going on, Al?
Well, we're making progress, but we've got more work to do. And I hope people will go see this movie. As you said, it opens here in L.A. You can buy advance tickets at inconvenientsequel.com. And I'm really happy to be on your show. Thank you.
I guess the big question that I've been wanting to get in front of you, Mr. Gore, is how did science become so partisan? I am very confused by how a person who stands up for facts now can be dismissed by millions of people just because of the political party they're in.
Yeah, and it's not only politics. It's also because of a determined effort by the large carbon polluters who want to squeeze out more profits from polluting the Earth's atmosphere. You know, they took the playbook from the tobacco companies years ago when the doctors and the Surgeon General presented the consensus linking cigarette smoking to lung cancer and other diseases. The tobacco companies hired actors and dressed them up as doctors to put them in front of cameras to give false reassurance that there were no health problems, and 100 million people died. These large carbon polluters, the Koch brothers and ExxonMobil and others, have hired the same PR firms and are doing the same thing with phony scientists and working to create false doubts. But people are seeing through it now. Every night on the TV news is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelation, all these crazy wild weather events connected to climate, and people are realizing it, and now that the cost of the alternatives is coming down so quickly, people are taking action.
Al, you had this movie completely finished before our current president. Is that correct?
Almost. We did anticipate from the beginning that we'd have to wait to see how the election came out and what the winning candidate actually did and how it would feel. So we always planned in advance to recut the movie after the festival premiere at Sundance, which actually took place during the inauguration of Donald Trump. We knew that's what we would have to do. And the directors, Bonnie Cohen and John Schenck, have done a fantastic job. I admit I'm biased, but I think they've done an awesome job.
But then on June 1st, when Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, you had to be like, oh, damn it, again. Now we have to re-edit again?
Well, I worked on him. You know, I went to meet with him. That's in the movie. And I continued my conversations after I got to the White, after he got to the White House. And I was really worried, Allie, when he made that speech, that other countries would use his decision as an excuse to pull out themselves. But it didn't happen.
No.
To the contrary, the entire rest of the world redoubled their commitment to the Paris Agreement, as if to say, we'll show you, Donald Trump. And then governors, led by your great governor, Jerry Brown, is a real hero of this. Lots of other governors, even more mayors and business leaders, filled the gap, stood up and said, we're still in the Paris Agreement. And it looks now as if the U.S. is going to meet its commitments under that agreement in spite of Donald Trump.
So it might have been the best thing he could have done, really re-energize people on a local level, too.
Well, I won't go that far.
So you should
maybe
thank
best
him.
Thing isn't really
you
isn't
should,
really.
You should yeah. thank him for that.
Yeah, these are pretty crazy times. And by the way, the next few months may be pretty challenging for our country. We'd better gird ourselves for what looks like it's just ahead. But there is a law of physics that sometimes operates in politics, and we've all heard it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the reaction to Donald Trump's moves and tweets is pretty amazing. There is an upsurge of climate activism and progressive activism across the board, like I haven't seen since the opposition to the Vietnam War. And we're working with the Indivisible Movement, by the way, in the launch of this movie, and activists all over California, all over the country, and in other countries are poised to organize around the premieres of this movie.
We have the former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, on the phone talking about the new film, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, available everywhere this weekend. Check your local listings. By the way, the first movie won an Oscar, but you didn't get an Academy Award, right, Al? You weren't eligible for one for some reason?
I have visiting rights to that was actually, people think I won it, but actually it was won by the terrific director of An Inconvenient Truth, David Guggenheim, and a second one, by the way, was won by Melissa Etheridge for the song in that film. And I encourage you to check out the song at the end of this movie as well, by One Republic, written by Ryan Tedder and T-Bone Burnett, Truth to Power.
No one has more facts and figures at his fingertips than Al Gore, man. This guy's amazing. I want to ask you one more question about Mr. Trump, and that is, look, he has so much power, and he knows that people follow what he does because he's the leader of the free world. Why do you think he pulled out of the Paris Accord? Do you think he doesn't believe the science, or do you think he gets so much pressure from people who can make money off of these things being rolled back?
Oh, I think it's clearly the latter. And he has surrounded himself with a rogues gallery of climate deniers coming out of the fossil fuel industry and lobbyists for polluters. And he's obviously following a strange plan to double down on appeals to his diminishing base.
Do you miss politics at all, Mr. Gore?
Well, there's some parts of it I don't miss at all. I was really happy to be in that system for as long as I was. But I'm very grateful to have found a way to promote public interest and bring about positive change outside of the political system. And this movie is one of the ways to do that. It will tell you everything you need to know about the climate crisis and the solutions to the climate crisis that are available now. They're here and they save you money, and what you can do to be a part of the solution.
Last question for Mr. Gore is, this is the third time you've been on the Kevin and Bean Show. The first time was over 25 years ago when we had this exchange with you.
One more question, Mr. Gore. Do you like cheese? And if so, what kind?
Cheese.
Sure. Yeah, I like cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Thank you.
That was your question. That was our question.
That was our question,
yes.
same answer today, Mr. Gore. Are you still sticking with cheddar?
Your show has evolved.
Some would say no.
but maybe you're returning. You know, there's a scene in the movie based on Swiss cheese, but. You know, I don't often talk about it, but I'm a vegan now, so there's some excellent vegan cheeses and stuff.
Oh, how about that? So we got to write in a new answer for that.
I'm going to have to disagree with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Go see the film this weekend. Get some knowledge on, as well as some entertainment. I really do think you might have should have saved this for Halloween, because there are parts of this film that are like a horror movie, Al. But hopefully brighter days are ahead. You keep doing what you're doing, and we're always happy to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thank you for the time, sir.
Well, thank you. People come out of this movie feeling hopeful, but with an increased sense of urgency. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. We appreciate Bye-bye. It.
Getting a lot of reaction to the interview with Mr. Gore a few moments ago here in the Kevin and Bean Show. But this one in particular, I have to ask you guys for an opinion.
Okay.
A listener named John writes in and says, the correct way to address a former vice president of the United States is as Mr. Vice President, out of respect for the office, saying Al was cringeworthy.
Oh, was it?
No, after you say vice president, then you can go to the first name.
That's
oh,
what
that
I
right?
thought,
that
too. I mean, I thought as long as you get it up front that you acknowledge that that was his office, that you're okay to call him Al or Mr. Gore, which I think I did both of. But were you guys – was it too familiar for me to refer to our guest as Al?
It didn't seem like it, but I'm not the one, not necessarily the one you want to go to for that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to Emily Post over here for etiquette lessons, but it stuck out to me.
Did it?
It felt weird to me.
It felt disrespectful?
Yeah.
Because we are generally on a first name basis with anyone who comes on our show as a guest.
Yes, but most of them aren't the former vice president of the United States.
But we go way back with Al.
Oh, that's true.
You
forgot
do.
About the cheese
you
days. So, all right. Well, I apologize if that was
offended
anyone. But
we'll change that when we talk to him again in 12 years.
Exactly. All right. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. And then as soon as he's done, stick around. Not that you wouldn't anyway, because we're going to give away some more Metallica tickets for their show tomorrow at the Rose Bowl. What's going on, Ralph?
I promised this last hour. I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at the top 10 tours, musical acts of 2017. This was released from Polestar. They keep track of ticket sales for these kind of things. And as of mid-2017, so at the halfway point of this year, what are the top grossing musical tours for the year? Once again, raising your hand on the radio doesn't really play
Adele.
So much in the room.
Adele.
Allie would like to guess Adele. Only number seven. Number seven on the list. But she is in the top 10, so we'll give you that one.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Okay, now this is why we can't have nice things, because of you, Kevin.
You too would be my guess.
You too would be a good guess at number two. You too is two with $118 million in gross. But they had to split that four ways.
Sure.
So it doesn't really come to much at the
barely
end
anything.
Of the day.
Yeah. I was going to say you two also.
Oh, someone already said that.
Right.
How about Mr. Bieber?
Justin Bieber came in at number three with $93.2 million.
So we're missing number one.
We are
missing number one.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses number one on the list, Allie.
What?
With $151.5 million in box office dollars. Number
one. Is that because they were able to charge so much per ticket?
So much.
Do you think?
And they're playing stadiums.
They are playing stadiums, yeah. So they're number one of all the touring acts in 2017.
So it was worth it for Axl to finally pick up the phone and call Slash.
You think?
Turned out to be a pretty good investment.
I'm going
to
say Frente.
Frente.
Just outside the top 10?
Just outside.
Not in?
Mm. What about Coldplay?
Coldplay.
Good.
Not in the top
10. What? Well, then.
Actually, not in the top 20. Not in the top 20.
I'm going to say Lou Bega.
Ooh.
No? Don't look at me like that, Ralph. Every teacher in my life looked at me like that.
Yeah, they were all right. I'll give you number 10. Bruno Mars came in at number 10 with $52.7 million.
All right.
At number 9, Eric Church, $54.5 million.
I don't know who that is.
No, country Eric singer. Church.
Oh, country. Okay.
Well, Churchy.
Churchy. I didn't. Yeah. You have your hand up. Yes, Allie.
Once again, I'm not looking around the room, okay. So I won't see you if you raise your hand.
I feel like Metallica should be on that list.
Metallica, number four on
nice.
The list.
Nice.
Number four. Allie's crushing this list,
it
by the way.
It took us that long to get to Metallica, who we're giving tickets away to next.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, $88 million so far this year made them number four on the list. So, okay.
Do we have any left? Is there any slots?
Three left.
All right, I have one more, and I'm saying this just because of the Madison Square Garden dealio, and that's, how about Billy Joel?
No.
Okay. Eve six.
Ed Sheeran, eighth on the list with 57.
Ed Sheeran.
Of course.
And I'll tell you, number five and number six are K-rock bands. So shame on you.
Chili Peppers?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, number six on the list with $60.5 million.
What about that little band, Depeche Mode?
Depeche Mode, fifth on the list.
Wow, look at
that.
$68.2 million. I think Allie might have gotten all five of the top ten.
I think Allie read the article before you came in.
Right?
Oh.
She cheated.
Wow. No.
I thought
Adele was number one.
Wow. When other people do well, it's congratulations.
Yeah, it's
when
hurtful,
Allie does well,
but you know what? I'm used to it. It just slipped right off.
Got slammed down.
Like things that slip.
One of those slippy things?
Good example.
And again, we're talking about lists. We did that list earlier in the day about the top 10 highest paid comedians. And I'm just obsessed now with this number 10 on the list, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Right. The guy we never heard of before.
That no one
the
has
list.
Ever heard before.
The 10th highest paid last year.
10th highest paid for this year.
This year.
2017.
Crazy.
$15 million.
And we've never heard of him.
And no one knew who he was.
All right.
So I told you, I've been doing some deep dives on the YouTube.
Okay.
And he's successful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. I don't get it. He's very, very sort of like Italian-American thing. So I thought you'd judge yourself. Here he is talking about Chipotle, popular restaurant chain Chipotle.
Okay.
I went to Chipotle a couple weeks ago. Love Chipotle. They make a really nice burrito over there. It's so terrific that the employees can't stop eating it. The employees are never working. They're always in the dining room eating. You ever walk in there, you're like, where are the workers? The only guy behind there is the guy cutting chicken, just looking at you. Right? He's not trained on burrito building.
I thought you were exaggerating.
I thought that was Ralph in the next room.
$15 million that dude made last year?
Yeah.
With that material and that delivery?
Wow.
The guy's cutting chicken, but he gets all the thing.
This. What is happening?
Oh my God.
I don't understand the world.
Hmm. Wow. He's got a very funny chunk about airplanes and luggage being too heavy.
This is packing the things too heavy because you gotta take 2 pounds out. I don't know. I got a boot. I got a toothpaste. Zizz.
I need a Zizz t-shirt.
$15 million.
That's funny and all, but he made $15 million this year.
Yeah.
And you mentioned last hour, Ralph, that some of it may have been the seal of approval from Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
So he probably got...
Why would Jerry Seinfeld give him the seal of approval?
Boy, I don't get it either.
Because Chipotle's got, well, those people are what? Eating. They're not working.
But just the delivery alone sort
What's
of ruins
What's up
it.
With Chipotle? They have a shared sensibility.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lori Loughlin's 53 years old today. Dana White's 48. Elizabeth Berkley's 45 years old today. Jacoby Shaddix, you know, is lead singer, of course, of Papa Roach. I think of Matt Money Smith every time I say the name Papa Roach, that band. He was their guy for
oh, he
a while,
was, right?
Remember when he was in the music industry?
That man became
Jimmy
World. Became a sports juggernaut, but back in the day, he used to work with bands.
He did.
Afro Man is 43 and Soulja Boy is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we have tickets for you for Metallica at the Rose Bowl. If you want to call now, 1-800-520-1067. The game involves their lyrics, so you have to know their lyrics. You call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next.
Another big hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Al Madrigal back in the building. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, how about we give away the last pair of tickets to see Metallica at the Rose Bowl tomorrow? You guys in?
Yes.
Totally?
Sure.
I mean, yes.
Into giving them away? Yeah.
Yes.
We're here.
We are in, Bean.
What we're doing.
Hit it, Steve.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
That other room is packed.
packed.
Right?
It is.
Packed with celebrities.
A lot of people in there, for some reason, have the time to just be available in case
like
they need
the People's Choice Awards in there.
In case they need to step up and read some lyrics. So we have contestants on the phone. Kevin, you're going to spin the wheel. Right. It'll land on a celebrity, and that celebrity will read lyrics from a popular Metallica song. All the person on the phone has to do is identify it by title. They go into the drawing to win the tickets. We ready to play?
We are. Brian and Maywood, good morning.
Hope Sebastian Mantiscalo's on that list.
Hello, Brian. I hope so, too. Brian, you there?
Brian?
Go ahead and say hello. Okay.
Brian.
All right.
No time for our nonsense.
Apparently not. Joe in Canoga Park.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. I don't know why it's fun again. We didn't use it the first time.
Well, you want a clean, fresh spin. You don't want a slightly used spin. You can get meningitis that way.
Joe, you get the great Al Pacino. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh.
Hey, Al.
Happy to be here.
Al, you're going to be reading some Metallica lyrics, and then all Joe has to do is tell us what song it is.
Yes, I am. Here we go. What I felt, what I've known, never shine through in what I've shown. Never be, never see, won't see what might have been. Ooh-ah.
Well, I think that ooh-ah is not part of the song, though, Joe.
What do you think, though, dude?
I'm going to guess Unforgiven.
That is correct. Done?
The great Clint Eastwood.
Very good. Have a movie with that title.
They
we appreciate you stopping
by.
Mr.
Oh, did they?
All right. Let's go to Justin in Seal Beach. Hi, Justin.
How's it going?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. You get President Donald Trump.
Oh, the president himself.
Congratulations.
I'm so happy to be here after the horrible vote last night. Unbelievable. Here we go. Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who takes you there. Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who cares. Tremendous.
Almost sounds like you could have written that song, Mr. Trump.
I did. I did write it.
Justin, what Metallica song is that, please?
Is that one?
I'm sorry, no.
That's sad but true.
Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who takes you there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Let's meet Nicole. She's in Fontana. She's up next. Line four. Nicole, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Let's find out who your celebrity is.
You get Homer Simpson.
Go!
Congratulations.
Hey, Homer.
Hey.
What do you got for Nicole?
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolute horror. I cannot live. I cannot die.
That's very sad, Homer. Nicole, what song, please?
That is the epic Metallica song, One.
Yes, indeed.
Darkness imprisoning me, all that I see.
Nicely done.
That's sad.
Let's go to Helene in San Clemente. Hi there.
Hi, I'm back.
Hi, Helene. Have you tried to win Metallica tickets before and did not?
Yep, with Dave on Wednesday. I'm back.
All right. That's a shame you got Dave. Good luck.
You get William Shatner today. William Shatner.
Here we go. Turn on. I see red. Adrenaline crash. And crash my head. Nitro. Junkie. Paint. Me. Dead. And I see red.
All right. Thank you, Captain. Helene, what song is Mr. Shatner doing for us there?
Fuel.
Yes, it is Fuel. Our Metallica fans, by the way, have been very good contestants at all the games this week.
Let's go to Dennis in Northridge. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Let's see who you get to read your lyrics. Oh, it's former Vice President Al Gore.
Al, you're back.
How about that?
I enjoyed my interview with you all so much, I came back.
All right. Good to see you again, sir. And I'm sorry if I called you Al. I'm sorry if that was offensive to you. I didn't
you
mean
can
any disrespect.
Call me Al.
Yeah! No.
I'm just now excited.
Come on. I was trying to
Nothing
think.
Nothing made me happier this whole week.
I was trying to think the whole time I was on the phone with the vice president how I could get him to say that, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. So
all right, Al, what you're going to do some lyrics for us here?
Dreams of war. Dreams of liars. Dreams of dragons, fire, and of things that will bite. Yeah.
All right, Dennis?
Let's say Nothing Else Matters.
Enter Sandman.
Dreams of war, dreams of lies, dreams of dragons, fire.
All right, we got time for just one more on the wheel. Who's our final contestant today, please?
It's going to be Justin in Seal Beach. Justin, you there?
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, you get former Vice President Al Gore. Congratulations.
Al Gore again.
Fantastic luck.
What a big day for you on our show.
That came up twice. It went 3 and 4, too, if we had time.
All right, let's hear some lyrics, Mr. Vice President.
Born to push you around, better just stay down. You pull away, he hits the flesh, you hit the ground.
Justin, what say you?
That is the day that never comes.
It is.
Born to push you around.
All right, Justin, you are in the drawing along with Helene and Nicole and Joe. One of you will win a pair of tickets to go to the Rose Bowl tomorrow to see the great Metallica live in concert with Avenged Sevenfold opening, but only one. Miss Anna McKay, who's it going to be, please?
It is Sweet Redemption for Helene.
Helene. Congratulations, Helene.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Gore, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of...
We can't tell you why, because we'll be arrested, but Al Madrigal is now the best person we have ever met in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Stand-up comedian, actor Al Madrigal, back on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's actually it's former comedian Al Madrigal. So
are you gonna jump on me about the Al Gore thing too?
It's hilarious.
Did we do that wrong?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did
but
we?
It's no big
why?
Deal. I don't think it
Tell
matters.
Me why, Mr. Madrigal.
His name is Al. Like all guys right. named Al are seem to be the same. It's like it's a plumber's name. Like,
but we had the real Al Gore on, and we did refer to him as former Vice President Al Gore first,
and then said Al,
and then we called him Al, and people were saying that was
I don't think you have to call him former Vice President every single
but
time.
But do we say Al or do we say Mr. Gore?
Mr. Gore probably, would be better.
Probably Mr. Gore.
Should we have?
Who cares?
See, that's why we can't have nice things.
I honestly, I really don't think anything matters at all. So,
okay. All right, good.
All right.
It is kind of true. The world we're living in is a world where nothing matters.
Nothing matters. I'm actually, I think, at Politicon on Sunday, I'm going to announce that I'm running for president in 2020.
Excellent.
And that's my campaign slogan.
Nothing
matters.
I like it.
You well, I would vote for you over Kid Rock, I'll tell you that.
Kid Rock, let me tell you something about the Rocks.
Yes,
both,
please.
Both Kid and regular. Kid Rock went from rap guy
yes.
to country music star.
Yeah, I liked him when he was rap guy.
Yeah, he's flip-flopping yeah. on musical genres.
Right, see? Right?
Imagine
so
what
he's
he gets
out.
In an office. Also, The Rock, way too busy, way too popular. I'm on 10 episodes of a Showtime show. I could totally pull
you
that
You have
off.
Nothing but time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Al, You're not with the Daily Show anymore.
No more Daily Show for me.
But you still, how can you not live in America and be obsessed with what's going on, right?
It's impossible to say because we all have, and that's why I think, all late night news sort of and late night shows have, we have news on our phones nonstop because I have the feed thing come up.
Right.
And it really is just nonstop. News and it's a daily thing.
If you want to avoid politics, it isn't possible.
I really don't think it's possible.
I mean, it
but there are all those people, and I think that's what we've been beaten down. It's like, I just want to avoid all of this. I can't handle
that's
this.
That's me.
That's you. So you've
I don't
been
want to talk about
down.
Any type of politics because it brings out the ugliness in both sides, and it's just...
But who are these people on the other side still? Because of this rating, it's a 39% approval rating, right? It's so... Who are the 39%? Are you that racist? I don't understand. Like, to really, did having a black president damage these people that much that they just are? I don't understand who's.
I don't think
left.
Most Donald Trump supporters are racist. I don't. I think there are a myriad of
greedy?
Reasons why. I really don't. I think there are some may be greedy. Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry. I go with greedy, racist, or stupid. I think it's one of the three or
three?
A combo. Yeah, exactly.
Look, there was a point of his message, which was politics as usual sucks and everybody hates
politicians.
I get that.
Agreed.
And
that.
And I think that struck a chord with a lot of people.
Sure.
But then he made it worse, so now I don't know what to do with it.
And I know that
I'm all for switching it up and making the change. We needed some change. It's not working.
Yeah.
And there, you know, anybody that we put in office is a puppet. They're, the other side is going to be so opposed to whatever they're doing. You know, and when Mitch McConnell, when Obama got in office, he said, we'll do anything we can to, you know, stop him from doing, you know, accomplishing anything.
That was the goal.
There is solid opposition to every single president.
Sure. Yeah. So how is anybody going to make a difference if there's not somebody that comes in and throws a bomb in it like Donald Trump did? But I think we need Donald Trump just like we need an alien invasion to all come together. Like, I really do. Like, that's what they always say is, like, the only way the world is going to unite if some, like, you know, alien comes down and we all have to fight against it.
All of a sudden we're on the same side, right?
Independence Day, yeah. Donald Trump is our alien.
You know what? I think you're right.
Well, that's what I went to this thing. I went to strange. It was weird. It's this called the Summit at Powder Mountain, and it's like TED Talks meets Burning Man.
So you take a lot of acid, and then you get on stage.
I swear to you, it's like a VC guys on acid. And it, I sat with these guys that stopped apartheid, and I also next to me is a guy who ran the App Store. It's just a weird collection of people. We're having dinner, and we all did agree. And this is before we got elected. Then we hope Donald Trump would make it. You know, get the nomination for the Republican Party, because that's what's going to unite everyone. And we need somebody like him to bring everybody together. So it's not that – I mean, I think this is going to happen.
So it's your fault?
It's my fault. I voted for Donald Trump. I'm part of the problem.
Al Madrigal in studio with us, by the way. I should mention, because you just briefly brought up that Politicon is happening, and it's – is this the first year we've had this here?
No. I was there last year. It's okay. Actually cool. It was me and Greg Proops and the guy –
So many big names on the schedule.
I brought up the only other comic that's doing it. But Roy Wood from The Daily Show is going to be there.
Jake Tapper is going to be there. He's
exactly
legit.
And Scaramucci, I think, was supposed to be there, and he canceled.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Weird time.
It's a huge, huge, huge lineup that you guys probably have to go to politicon.com.
Roger Stone, James Carville, Ann Coulter, America Ferrera, Rob Reiner, Congressman Ted Lieu, Pod Save America, those guys, John Favreau, those guys are going to be there.
Ralph's friend Chelsea Handler is actually going to debate
Tommy Lahren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Can I love you and stay as far away from this as possible?
He's not Kevin's thing.
Are both of those possible?
It's, if you're in Pasadena and you love in Southern California, you love politics and all these pundits that you see constantly on TV, they're all in one place on Sunday and Saturday. Yeah.
Tickets are available at politicon.com at the Pasadena Convention Center this Saturday and Sunday. All right, Al, why don't we take a quick break and we come back and we talk everything but politics? How about
Including
the great Showtime show that you're on and what else is going on in your life when we return with our guest, Al Madrigal, after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Stand-up comedian and actor Al Madrigal in city with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, politicon.com, for his events this weekend. Check it out. Now, I promised before the break, Al, that we weren't going to talk about politics, and I promise we're not.
All right.
But then as the song's ending, you says, oh, yeah, Donald Trump, he wrote me a letter. We have to know about that.
So
we can't ignore that.
In 2000,
you just threw a grenade into things, and now we have to go back and figure out a handwritten note.
Yeah, it was faxed to me by his secretary. I'm sure he has many secretaries. But in 2013,
and I bet they're all pretty.
Yeah, they're super hot. So in 2013, I had a stand-up special come out on Comedy Central that no one saw, called "Why Is the Rabbit Crying?" And I did an interview. I did a bunch of press.
Right.
And it was one for the New York Times in the Sunday edition. It says, what do you think of Donald Trump? And this is well before any of this. And I said, I think he's hilarious in an evil, Muppety sort of way. Like, if there's any, like, Muppet villain, it would be Donald Trump. So I get a call at my desk at The Daily Show from his secretary, who says, what's your fax number? And I get a handwritten note with the copy, with the comment, the whole thing circled,
right,
from Donald Trump that says, hey, Al, I just saw this. Hilarious, but just know you're an idiot. And like that. And then Donald Trump, but it was a smiley face as well. So he drew a smiley face. I got to dig it up. I'll try to put
it
on my Instagram.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. You're an idiot. Saw this. You're
and
an
he
idiot.
Wrote it.
Yeah. It was in his writing.
That is a wonderful souvenir to have.
So I just say sort of a scrapbook of all this crap, but
that's pretty strong.
I'll dig it up. I'll post it on my Instagram. Yes, and too. Yes.
That should be your next album cover.
You're an idiot. Too?
What's that?
When he signs his name, it just looks like weird lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely written by him. There's no doubt.
It's crazy that he would have time to read how much of his own press he does.
He's got a Google alert on himself.
Totally does, and I think I heard Alec Baldwin talking about this because there's sort of like, you know, New York guys who would show up at the same events, but he was just all about the press. So when he would go to any big charity party or anything like that, he'd show up for the step and repeat, and that's the sort of logoed wall where all the photographers are, and he'd take his pictures, and he'd walk away.
And leave.
And not donate a dime to the charity.
Is that right?
And so a charity gala featuring, and then he'd be in all of the photos.
Hmm.
And then just walk immediately away. And they'd shake hands, and you never really had any time with him. But, you know, he was like this New York man about town who was just taking the pictures.
Pop up everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. But he sounds like he's got that figured out. Those events are boring.
Sure. Yeah, he does.
Who's the idiot now, Al?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's talk about I'm Dying Up Here real quick. We had, what's her delightful name? Ari Grainer on. We had Ari Grainer on.
She's awesome.
And she was talking about how Jim Carrey's real involved. He's executive producer. He's been real involved in the series.
I'm on my way to the writer's room. Right now, we're trying to break what a season two will be, and Jim will pop in and talk about stories. Does he pop in and help? Yeah. So
does he just
characters live in the closet? He lived in the closet. Character got kicked off Midnight Special. That happened to Jim Carrey. He came down from Toronto, and then he was in the Comedy Store. Did a set. Booker canceled his Tonight Show appearance.
Wow.
So so that happened to us. Like, we're pulling as much stuff in my stories, his stories. You know, we have stories I heard. I remember Dave Attell telling me a story about these bookers in Kansas City who tried to pay him in coke.
Really?
Exactly. So we're going to try to pull all those great stand-up stories in and make them part of the season. And this season, you know, we know exactly what we did wrong, and we're really going to try to show the fun side and a lot of all the action.
It does seem like the first 5-6 years of a comedian's life is just hell.
It's brutal because you're taking a job with no promise of any income, and you have to jump in and dedicate yourself to it.
Right.
And
you're opening yourself up to just crazy criticism.
Exactly. You have to eat it, and there's open mics with homeless people sitting there. The open mic scene, I remember I was in San Francisco. The open mic scene was horrible. It was a lot of great people that I met, but just all these weird wannabe comedians. A lot of people get into stand-up comedy because they're just lazy and they think they can just go about it.
They've seen someone else do it.
Because when you see someone do it, it looks easy.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. It's just a conversation.
It's always so fascinating to me, Al, how many people, no matter how popular they get, they end up being Letterman or they end up being Seinfeld or they end up being Jim Carrey. They can never forget and never stop loving stand-up.
That was the bond that I sort of had with Jon Stewart when I went on the – because he did all the bad gigs that I did. I taught my son how to swim in the Tropicana pool.
Between gigs.
Yeah, between gigs. So, yeah, we have all of those stories where we just did – I've hopped fences. I've run from the cops. You know, I've done like so many weird things.
Let's talk
things.
About you running from the cops. I love that story.
Yeah.
You don't just mean when you came to this country, right, Al?
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys know, but
Border Patrol
last week's episode, they wound up beating the crap out of the morning DJ at
K-Rock. For stealing material.
Many in the AM.
Well, radio guys used to do that all the time.
Steal jokes?
Well, you know who I saw is that – who's that? Garrison Keillor?
Garrison Keillor?
Garrison Keillor, yeah.
He was in the Comedy Store. This is about a year and a half ago with a notebook. I tapped a guy, a doorman, and I go, hey – I don't care who it is. Just go tell him to stop.
He doesn't need to steal jokes, by the way.
You should never have a notebook. If you're involved in the entertainment industry and you have a notebook out in a comedy club, but people used to do it to us constantly. You know what the people were famous for? Is having us go in for commercial auditions and improv. And then you'd see your entire thing in the commercial.
Is that right?
Constantly.
I didn't realize that it was that constant of a thing. I thought it was occasionally there would be somebody.
I mean, Robin Williams, God rest his soul, I remember being an open micer in San Francisco doing a bit, seeing a guy with a notebook. Then I showed up at Comedy Day and Robin Williams did my bit verbatim.
Verbatim?
Yeah. Oh, slight changes.
So the guy in the audience with the notebook was writing down what you were saying.
They actually made it better. He did a way better job.
So you're like, hey, yeah, good on you.
This is really good.
I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, he's Robin Williams. He's a genius.
He fast forward 15 years, you're at home watching him win an Oscar, and then you're like, well, I guess he deserved it.
So there's, you know, people used to sit in the backs of comedy clubs. Comedians do it to other comedians all the time. You can sit at an open mic. And all these kids have great premises, but they don't know what they're doing with them. So radio guys used to come in and sit and just take all the bits and then
Why didn't we ever think of that?
Yes.
No kidding. We're so stupid.
But Al, let me ask you this, though. Isn't that the quickest way to be shunned by the comedy community at large? Is being?
Sure.
I mean, there's nothing worse than being a joke stealer.
Well, if you're a premise thief, though.
Oh, I see.
It's a gray area.
It's a much better name, too. Yeah.
So if I've got a microwave popcorn bit and it's just okay, you may hear something in that you can develop.
If you're better, if you've been doing it for 15-20 years, you just know how the formulas work, and you see some kid butchering it. You can
Have you ever been that guy? Have you ever been the premise thief?
No,
one time.
What's that? When
had
I ran
you one time,
yeah, and then I ran from the cops because other comedians wanted to kill me. I would never. Just to, you know, people have different codes,
right? But you say it happens all the time.
Well, it does.
All right, let me ask you this
off air. I'll say some names,
yeah, please,
because
and then we'll say them on the air.
Because there are hundreds of people every night on stage telling jokes, and they all live in the same world with a lot of the same experiences and whatnot. I'm sure there has to be some.
There's always similar
thought. Right?
There's always, you can always chalk it up to similar thought.
You ever had anyone accuse you of stealing a joke that you didn't steal?
No.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
No,
you're above the fray.
I know. You've done something.
Yeah, being really known, you're guilty.
I'm half Mexican and I went to French school. Like, I'm also telling such personal stories. I admit, that was actually the first time I went to Montreal, which is going on right now. There's this big Just for Laughs festival. My manager at the time called me up and he said, "Do you have anything that is about, you know, in French? Do you have any French sort of material? Because that'll kill." I go, "Yeah, I went to 14 years of French school in San Francisco where I had to wear a sailor suit every single day." And so I got tons of
it. Right there.
Sailor suit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make something out of that.
Yeah, sure. I'm not doing anything with it. So I just, from that point forward, I wrote very specific things about myself, and they were all stories that I lived, so I didn't have to ever really worry about
it. I can't do a hilarious chuck about how hard it is for people to pronounce my last name Madrigal.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a diet up here is Sunday nights at 10 on Showtime. And, of course, that stuff's always on demand, right? So even if people haven't started watching the season yet, they can.
It's a great show. We introduce all the characters in the beginning of the season, and then it really ramps up. And, like anything, it just takes you take some time with it.
You got some really talented people on that show. It's a great cast, too. And, of course, Politicon is this weekend, politicon.com. If you're a politic person, Pasadena Convention Center. Al, you're going to be there when? Sunday night? Is that right?
Sunday night, pretty much from 3 on Sunday. And everybody's out and accessible, so you really get to interact with all these people you see on TV. It's awesome.
AlMagical.com. Great to see you, sir. Thanks for coming.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph is here with the show biz beat on a Friday morning. And by the way, since it's Friday, we should remind folks that Keep It 100 is coming up right after the top of the hour at 1-800-520-1067. This is the feature that we do every Friday where we give you a chance to be the K-Rock music director. There's a K-Rock song you love, but you never hear it, or you don't hear it enough, and we haven't played it in years. That's what we're looking for, 1-800-520-1067. Anything you want.
That's the text number, by the way.
Yes, that is the text number. You text it in, give us your name and what song it is you want us to play. And just to give you an idea of how much fun this has been the last couple of months, here's some of the songs that you have already selected.
Under a dock, and there they It wasn't a rock. Was a rock lobster. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever.
So, 1-800-520-1067, what song do you want to hear? We're going to play it for you right after the top of the hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lori Loughlin is 53.
You got time. You got a few minutes.
I just thought that we were going to do more songs. You have there any was, more songs you want to play?
Montage was longer than we expected.
Any more songs? You have any more songs you guys would like to play?
No, we're good now.
During the Showbiz Beat? Any more musical interludes?
I feel like we're good right now.
You sure?
So far, so good.
We still have another 2 minutes if you'd like to play some more songs.
I mean... But that's all. That's all I got. What do you got, Ralph? Time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
I have a pen. I have an apple. Apple pen.
Yeah. It's Quasimodo singing pen, pineapple, apple pen.
Zizz!
John Boyega, right?
Yep.
Finn. Or as Bean once called him upon meeting him, the Black Stormtrooper.
I didn't know his name at the time I was on the flight.
I was on the plane with the Black Stormtrooper.
This was long before the movie came out.
You know who I'm sitting next to? The Black Stormtrooper.
And the name was not readily accessible in my mind.
He's a good man, and he's not one of those guys who's just going to splurge and lose his fortune. As things go well for him.
That's good to hear.
Saving all of his residual checks from Star Wars. The only splurging he did was to buy his parents a new house.
Oh, John.
How nice is that?
It's wonderful.
When asked why that was his only big purchase, he says it's simply the way to do it. And he said, I'm proud to give back to my king and queen regarding his mother and father.
How touching is that?
I probably couldn't have loved him more before.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah, she really wants to feel the force.
I really do.
Here's his lightsaber.
But now. I think, I'm not taking anything away from what this is.
What could you take away from that story? I swear.
There's no way to spin this badly.
Listen, just don't. Just don't.
I'm not.
Just don't.
I swear to you. I'm not pooping on it at all. What I'm saying is, don't you think that's the first thing a lot of us would do if we had that kind of money to do that for our parents? I think a lot of people would share that sentiment that John does.
Asshole.
No, I'm. Don't you?
No,
don't
I
you
don't
agree?
Think so. That's why it makes the news when someone does something like that. Because most people are throwing eggs at houses, or they're drag racing with SUVs, or they're running over paparazzos.
I bet a lot of celebrities have bought their parents' houses. And it's great every time they do it. I'm not complaining. I'm saying it's awesome.
He's not just that special, like, is what to hear saying. Less about it, is what he'd like.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think it's wonderful.
Good,
it was a great story before Bean.
Right?
It's still a great story.
We all had a good time.
We were having fun. Yeah. We still are.
Well,
radio roadblock up there.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
Yeah.
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Witzelsucht, right?
Right.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
No, right? He will be known as Bean Witzelsucht. You guys were talking about comedians. With our buddy Al Madrigal.
Yep.
I just love, by the way. He's just the best.
He is the best.
He's a delight. He really is.
Did we ever ask him to be on April Foolishness?
We should ask him to be on April Foolishness. I feel like we did last year. But let's ask again for next year.
Let's lock him in.
I'd love that.
I would love that, too. There's a show on Fox at midnight. I don't know if you guys have seen this Punchline, this new show they're trying out on Fox.
No, I haven't. No.
It's kind of like at midnight. They bring in comedians, and then they go through the day's headlines. And then you try to come up with your best punchlines connected to the news.
Okay.
Huh.
The reason I bring it up is because our pal Eddie Pence is going to be on tonight. Remember Eddie? He was one of our opening comedians for April Foolishness. Eddie Pence will be on the show tonight. It's on Fox 11 tonight at midnight, and the show is called Punchline. So you should check Eddie out because he's a funny man, and I just wanted to give him a little love. Today's celebrity birthdays. Soulja Boy. He's 27 years old today. Awesome.
Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh.
Why me crack it? Why me? Oh. Why me crack that soldier boy? That Superman? That oh. Now why me?
Yeah. He should have more hits. He's talented. 27 years old today. Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach is 41. Elizabeth Berkley's 45. Dana White turns 48 years old today. Lori Loughlin turns 53. And Afro Man is 43 today. Afro Man!
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
There's your keep at 100 right there.
Right? My room is I wouldn't hate it.
And I know why. Because I got high.
Oh, hi, Afro Man. You go, boy.
You go, boy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
You know, it's weird because on this show, our policy is keep it around 40.
42 or 3 on a good day.
When you say that's about right.
Sure.
But we are keeping it 100 every week about this time. What we do is we throw open the phone lines to you and give you a chance to request any K-Rock song that you want. Because let's face it, we all love K-Rock and the music that we play. But sometimes there's a song you go, man, I miss that. I haven't heard that. I love that.
So if it's in our library and you request it, we'll play it if you're the 100th texter.
If we have it, we'll play it, even if it's been years and years. Let's get an update from the King of Mexico. I think we're trying to get back in touch with the person who texted us. We're not allowed to call without their permission. That's how it works with texting. Dave, what do you know about our caller this time?
All right.
Cool.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, we're wondering what's going on. He texted us to want a song, and now we can't get him on the phone to talk to him?
Well, maybe he's not proud of his request.
He should be. It's a great
he
request.
He really should be.
All right. Brad from Chino Hills, I am being told, is who was the 100th texter around. Kevin, what did Brad want to hear to kick off his weekend today?
He wanted to hear Chumba Wumba. Tub thumping.
Oh, so good.
Keep it 100.
I get no doubt.
Some
Ironically, I feel like Chumbawamba never got back up after that song.
Seems like they were.
Come on, man. You have to ruin everything.
I was just going to say that's the perfect song. Get us into Friday, get the weekend going.
Oh, we got a hold of Brad. Brad is the one who was the 100th texter through at 1-800-520-1067. So now it's kind of anticlimactic because we've already played his song, but let's say hi to him anyway. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, we tried to call you back, man, but you wouldn't pick up. What happened?
You're just going to chastise him being this good radio?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry, you were in the bathroom?
Yeah.
All right.
What was going on?
Getting ready for the day.
Having some problems today?
Unlike some people, I don't have to be up until, 8:30
in the morning. You're so lucky. I want to be you so bad right now.
Brad, why did you choose that song?
Because it's one of the worst earworms I know, and I've been putting it every week so that everyone can have it stuck in their
head. Oh, you've been texting it for Keep It 100. You've been texting it each Friday.
He's my people.
That's awesome. Now, Allie was starting to tell us a story that we made her stop to wait till we got on the air. Something about tub thumping is kind of what? On social media right now.
It's become like a thing again. It's become called a Chumbawamba challenge where you take a whiskey drink, you take a vodka drink, but you put your whiskey, the vodka, the lager, and cider in a row, and you have to shoot it, pound it,
throw up.
And then most people puke.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie and say it's not fascinating to watch, but I will watch that over and over because people think they can do it. No.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
I would just take like 4 whiskey drinks.
Right. Well, that's what we're saying. Is that's drinking 101. Yeah. It's not to mix them. But,
right.
But then you're not a real Chumbawamba fan, Brad.
No. Like I said, this is just for the earworms.
This is just to F with people.
This is just so that he can F with people. I like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right.
Any suggestions for next week, guys?
It's on you. This is where, we get to pick most of the music.
Let me butt in for a second.
Oh, no, for a new earworm.
Chip's got it.
You're going to request next week Father of Mine by Everclear.
Okay.
All right, Brad, we appreciate you listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for making the request for today's Keep It 100. You have yourself a great weekend, sir.
You too, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Hey, yeah. LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. You can't throw me off, Ralph. Don't be ridiculous.
Hey!
There we go.
First 5 callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get a 4-pack of tickets and ride passes to the OC Fair running now until August 13th. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
How about that?
That was well done, Kevin.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Hall of Fame!
Kevin reads a few lines and he gets applause now. That's where his life is at.
If I show up, I get applause.
It's crazy.
It's working out well.
Kevin might be a genius.
Thank you.
If you can build a life where you set the bar so low.
That's the key.
That just if you function,
right,
people will applaud you and think you're achieving something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of genius.
Genius. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I kind of look at Kevin, and I've never discussed this publicly before, but I kind of look at Kevin as
I'm glad we picked the time now.
As having a pet, where you're just happy when the pet is well behaved. That's all. The pet doesn't embarrass you, doesn't chew up the furniture or something like that, doesn't poop on the floor. Just the pet just hanging out in the room, you feel like you're in business.
There you go, Kevin. You haven't pooped on the floor today.
Right.
It's still time.
He cleans it up.
That's true. Poor Chip. She's just got a roll of bags over there. That's all she does is follow around.
She hits me with newspapers.
Picks up after Kevin. We should do a call-in topic of most time that passed before a reconciliation in a romantic situation.
I think like a couple breaks up and then gets back together sometime later?
For example, Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp are back together again.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They have reconciled after 3 years of calling it quits. They're back together again. Apparently, Meg has had a serious change of heart about John Mellencamp. They broke up famously so much ire in their breakup. That John Mellencamp said in an article recently before they got back together again that he believed Meg hates me to death and said she was probably had reason for it, considering he said he was guilty of throwing fits and complaining and griping and being moody in the relationship, so he didn't really blame her, but they are back together again after 3 years. What can compel you after 3 years to get back?
I don't know, but I am always amazed by the numbers of celebrities who married the same person twice. I mean, to break up with somebody in such to go so far as to divorce somebody, you wouldn't expect you would end up remarrying that person a few years later, but it's happened multiple times with lots of celebrities.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
I always think that those relationships are doomed, right? Because what happens is time goes by and then you forget the reason why you hated that person and why you broke up with them. And you tend to remember the good things and sometimes romanticize about those days. Nostalgia has a way of coloring your viewpoint. And you get back together again. And then you're together again and it's fun and it's we're reunited, feels so good. And then 6 months, 8 months, you're like, oh, now I remember. Yeah. I forgot all that stuff.
But what about flip side? They've changed. They've grown. Is that not
possible? Because
everyone
does that. Because so many people change and grow.
Is it not possible, though?
It's possible. It's possible.
I think for a lot of people, it's very bad timing for them. And then years go by and they realize, oh.
They mature up a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think is the more likely scenario?
Yours, that they forget the bad parts?
I think that's a lot of it.
Of the people who get back together, who reconcile, what do you think the average success rate is?
60%.
60% stay together, you think, once they reconcile. Okay.
Do you know the answer to that question?
I don't know the answer.
Because I would guess 20-25.
That's what I would guess, too. I would more likely than not, it probably falls apart again.
You guys just
again.
Don't believe in love the way I do.
You and Bean just love love.
It's true.
I believe in life after love.
Oh.
Go straight to hell.
Jennifer Aniston's coming back to TV.
That's big news.
Yeah, more than
a big movie star.
After a decade after Friends ended, apparently she and Reese Witherspoon are attached to star in a new yet untitled TV series about morning TV shows in New York City. Wow, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon together on a TV show.
Whew. Come on.
I might have to sell my television. I might have to give up on all television.
Well, you don't have to watch it, Ralph. You can keep your TV.
But still,
I
potentially could come across it. That's my fear.
Now, what's your problem with Jennifer Aniston?
You don't leave just a nuclear warhead in your house, do you?
Ralph.
With a tripwire connected to it? You don't want to be stumbling around in the middle of the night in a way to get a glass of milk out of the fridge. And next thing you know, your nuke goes off. You don't run that risk.
Those are the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay.
As Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon together in a TV project.
Why?
Ugh.
What's your problem with Jennifer Aniston, by the way?
Oh, my Lord.
She seems pretty good in almost everything.
She's the worst person ever.
No,
right?
She's
right?
Not.
No, I don't think
she's the worst person ever. People loved her in Horrible Bosses, right?
No, she's really nice.
Mm-hmm. The breakup, she was great in the breakup.
Yeah.
Kevin Bean's rock star, of course. She couldn't have been any nicer.
Right.
Just saying. Seriously, what's your problem with Jennifer Aniston?
Just saying, right?
You don't think she's a good actress?
We all know she's awful, right?
She's not awful at all.
What are you talking about? That's something we all know.
She's not awful at all. Mm-hmm. Neither is Oscar winner Reese Witherspoon, by the way.
Oh, my Lord. Right? Right? I think we're all saying, oh, my Lord.
No one's saying that except you.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. So we're all on the same page.
We're not on the same page at all.
No way we're going to watch this is what I'm saying. Right? Okay.
I mean, it may not be good, but that doesn't mean they're not talented actresses. Not everything you're in is going to be great.
But they're awful, though, right?
They're not awful.
Professionally and personally, they're
both. Nobody is saying that.
It's just disastrous.
Ralph, did you watch Big Little Lies on HBO this year?
No!
Reese Witherspoon
in it?
Yeah, she
was. Then I wasn't watching.
She was great.
She was phenomenal.
She really was great in it.
And I think she executive produced it, too.
Oh, she's the worst.
She's awesome.
Second only to Jennifer Aniston. The pantheon of suck.
There is nothing wrong with either of them.
Awful.
Ralph just wants to go home.
And they're awful, awful people.
It's fresh.
Just two birthdays.
Ask Brad Pitt what he thinks of Jennifer Aniston. Right?
Well, that's different, though.
Is it?
Yeah, you
yes,
could like
it's very different.
You
yes.
could like her as an actress, but still, it may not be easy to be married to her if that was the case at all. We don't know if it had anything to do with her.
I'm not going to ask a dude that cheated on her what he thinks of her.
Oh, now it's on the other. Simple. Now the shoe's on the other foot.
There we go.
That's just what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm just saying she looks so bad with the voices.
Boom! Do it again. Suck it. Oh,
and Beyonce. Poor Beyonce.
Now, is she okay, or is she on your S list, too?
She's fine. She's lovely and talented. But she is facing a $20 million lawsuit.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a judge in Louisiana that has upheld a claim that comes from the family of a comedian and rapper who's no longer with us called Messy Mia. You know Messy Mia?
No. I don't.
Or Messy Maya, M-Y-A?
I don't.
She was sampled by Beyonce on her song Formation. Some phrases from this rapper. Phrases including what happened at the New Orleans, bitch, I'm back by popular demand, and oh yeah, baby, I like that, were sampled and used in Beyonce's song Formation. And now Messy Mia's sister has come forward and said, hey, that's copyright infringement. I'm going to sue. So Beyonce's team said, no, no, that's fair use. And the judge said, no, it's not.
Oh.
And so now the case will go on, and it's possible she could lose $20 million in the lawsuit.
Huh.
Guilty!
Gotta be careful when you steal stuff.
So you can't just take somebody's voice,
right,
even if they're dead, and just put it on a recording.
Right.
All right. That seems reasonable to me, by the way.
Just saying. Jennifer Aniston.
No one's saying. Why? What's happening
with
you?
Throw the book at them, right?
No, it doesn't even make sense.
Very nice lady.
Her felonies suck. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Bitch.
No.
Oh, right. Come on.
Wow. Lori Loughlin is 53 years old today. UFC President Dana White turns 48. Elizabeth Berkley is 45 years old. Jacoby Shaddix, Papa Roach singer, is 41. Singer Afro Man is 43 years old today. And Soulja Boy is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We will see you on Monday. We've got Lana Del Rey in studio.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get ready to rock, America.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, I think the kids are gonna love it.
Roll another one.
Now hiring both locations.
Just like the other.
Supply of creepy.
Seems to be about to quit.
Start talking, butthead.
I need another hit.
I gotta tell you guys, you would have to agree with my next statement, is that the movement's slowly getting there.
Come on, Ed, there's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
Roll.
White devils.
Just like the other one.
It's time to grow up, Snowflake.
This one seems to be about to end.
Wouldn't you like to know, Weather Boy?
I don't have another cent.
We're getting nothing done, my friends. We're getting nothing done.
No one is learning from history.
Just pass it around.
Let's all have sex.
Dong.
I just pass it on down.
Oh, that was terrible, but at least it's over.
Why don't you shut up?
No, you shut up.
No, you shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Ha! A wins.
Ew, no. Abort. Goodbye forever.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Could everyone who doesn't absolutely have to be here please leave the room? Thank you.
Yes, what he just said.
That's the answer.